Thank you. Good morning also from my side to our conference call on the results for the first quarter. Unfortunately, there weren't any highlights in the first month that I can point out. So then we start with the retailer sales, which were a little disappointing. All in all, like-for-like sales in our German centers decreased by 2.3%, and apart from shoes and leather goods, as well as sports, all segments were negative. Also, the centers in Poland, Hungary, and Austria on average showed a minus of 1.1% in retail turnover on a like-for-like basis, so that overall like-for-like sales moved down by  2.1%. Total sales in our German centers decreased by only 1.1%, in our foreign centers by 0.3%, so that overall it was a minus of 1%. Opposite to that, our EuroShop figures look quite well and are absolutely in line with our guidance. Revenue, NOI, and EBIT with a plus of 18%, respectively 19%, are positively influenced by the first-time consolidation of Altmark Galerie, as this was not reflected in Q1 and the Q1 figures last year. The same applies to net finance costs. So EBT moved up by 14%, consolidated profit by 12%. FFO per share moved up by 10% to 55 cents in the first quarter. Total equity increased by 1%, whereas financial liabilities decreased by 3%. As total assets decreased by 1%, the equity ratio increased to 49.3% now. LTV, in turn, decreased to 42%. Let's look quickly now on the balance sheets, where movements were limited, with a decrease in total assets of 20.4 million euro only. The reduction in non-current assets is mainly due to the proceeds of the sale of Galeria Dominikanska last year, which we now cashed in from our subsidiary in January. In turn, current assets increased by almost 12 million euro due to higher liquidity. Mainly due to the result, total equity increased by roughly 20 million euro, whereas financial liabilities decreased by 43 million euro as we have repaid short-term debt. Movements in deferred taxes and other liabilities were negligible. The P&L looks as follows. As already mentioned, revenues were up by 18%, and more details will follow in our bridge shortly. The property and operating and management costs were higher than last year due to Dresden, but comparatively with 8.7% of revenues slightly below last year. Nevertheless, NOI increased also by 18%. The other operating income as well as corporate costs were both below last year's level, so EBIT moved up by 19% to 44.2 million euro. Net finance costs increased also mainly due to the Altmark Gallery by 37% to minus 13.8 million euro, and the details will follow with a bridge. The valuation result consists of the investment costs, as you know, in the first quarter, and were with 1.1 million euro, slightly below last year's level. So finally, EBT was up by 14% to 29.3 million euro. As the tax rate came out 0.9 percentage points above last year, consolidated profit increased by only 12% to 22.6 million euro. The loan structure hasn't changed much, but due to the repayment of short-term debt I already mentioned, the average interest rate moved up slightly by 2 basis points to 3.9%. So let's come now to the bridges. Revenues saw an increase of 7.6 million or 18% from 42.4 million to 50 million euro. This is mainly due to the consolidation of the Altmark Gallery, which contributed 6.2 million euro to that. Like-for-like rental growth, nevertheless, came out at 1.4 million euro or 3.2% compared to the prior year. Finance costs, as well as the income from an equity participations, were also influenced by the Altmark Gallery. On balance, interest costs were up by 1.3 million euro, and the equity result decreased by 1.8 million euro compared to the prior year. Further, there were swap expenses of 0.5 million euro, and the minority profit share was 0.1 million euro higher than last year. So overall, net finance costs were with 13.8 million euro, 3.7 million euro higher than in Q1 of  2013. EBT bridge. EBT moved up by 3.5 million to 29.3 million euro. Apart from a better valuation result, the operating profit increased by 9% or 2.4 million euro. And finally, the profit bridge. Profit after taxes increased by 2.5 million to 22.6 million. One-third of that is due to the better valuation result, and two-thirds to the increase of the operating profit, a plus of 8%. So the first quarter was totally in line with our forecast, so we stick to that and expect for the full year still revenues of around 200 million euro and EBIT of around 175 million euro, and operating profit before taxes of 120 million-123 million euro, and FFOs per share of around 2.16 euro, out of which 1.30 euro per share should be paid out as dividend. On the acquisition side, there are no big news. As far as the expansions are concerned, we finally canceled the activities in Wuppertal. Gdańsk is still work in progress, so no news on that. But at the Phoenix Center, we are now confident to start with construction in September 2014. That's briefly what I can tell you on the first quarter. Thanks for listening, and I'm now happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. Our first question today comes from the line of Andre Remke of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Wöhrge. A couple of questions. First, on your comment on the turnover. Are there any special reasons for the disappointing retail turnover? Are there probably the Easter effect happened this year in the second quarter only? Is this a reason, or could this be a reason? So this is the first question.
Yeah, well, there certainly is an Easter effect. The magnitude, I can't judge. But apart from that, I expect, and I don't have the figures yet, that the footfall has moved down. The problem is, or not the problem, but the surprising thing is that this is all over the republic. It's not something for special properties, it's all over Germany. First thing. Second thing is that, if you go through the different segments, it's quite strange why shoes and leather all of a sudden have 11.5%+. I mean, we can explain electronic markets probably with internet sales, but it is by far too early to have a precise picture, because we got these figures early this week, and we haven't had the chance to investigate that in depth and talk to ECE whether they have some more explanations on why this happened. Generally speaking, you know that the first quarter very often doesn't give the clear picture. We have to wait for the six-month figure, because of Easter. I'm looking very much for these failures because I was surprised about these so-called disappointing figures. But a clear picture, I unfortunately don't have so far. It's not only Easter, probably.
Okay. So the second question on your Phoenix Center, you mentioned it's going to as planned, but there are some newspaper articles about the last couple of months or weeks about potential concerns. Did you already receive the final go here? So no further question on that, that you really can start in September?
Yeah, well, let me put it that we don't have a building permission yet, but the necessary changes in the building plan are on a good way. The whole local politicians are in favor of that, apart from minor people. That's why I said we are confident. It's not 100% sure that we get the building permission finally, but we are rather confident that the process will go through. I know I'm aware of the news in the press, but as you know, not everything what is in the press is the truth.
Okay. And until when do you need a final permission to be able to start in September?
Then we need it until summer. We work on that, parallel to that, because we expect it. So the work is done, and we would be ready to start immediately when the building permission is there.
Okay. And what is the reason for the Wuppertal cancellation of the extension?
Well, two reasons. One reason is that it was not possible to meet yield criteria on the one side, and second, that was finally the major problem, that the owner of a property which is needed, the Deutsche Telekom, is not willing yet to sell because they haven't solved the problem to relocate all the technique that is in the building, the whole telecommunication of the 400,000 people city, Wuppertal, is located in that building. And that is so expensive that they decided to leave that empty, that building, and just operate the technique there. The interest is more from the mayor and the local authorities, because it's an awful building, meanwhile. For years, there weren't any maintenance done, and they pushed that very much, but finally we decided not to move forward on that because it wouldn't be profitable. Profitable enough.
And this is only the view, the short or midterm view, or is there a long-term option that you pick up the plans even in the next couple of years?
Let me put it that way, never say never.
Okay, fair enough. So then the last question on the potential investment ideas. Last call, you mentioned that at least there are some ideas you can work on. Are there any progress in the one or other case, or anything of this has been totally stopped?
Well, some of the ideas disappeared. It was too early to say that, but I was so optimistic at the time we talked last to each other in the conference call. Some of the ideas disappeared rather rapidly because when we saw the price tag, we said, well, thank you very much. One idea is more than an idea. We work on that, but it is by far too early to say anything about the outcome.
Okay. Probably then a very last question. What's the status on the potential early refinancing? You mentioned this some time ago on the 2015 and 16 maturities, I think about 130 million or so. Are you already working on that, or will you wait until 2015?
No, well, since that takes a couple of months to have that in place, my colleague is working on that.
And could it be the case if it would be an early refinancing?
Well, One, which refers to Wetzlar, no. The other one that refers to the Phoenix Center could be an early refinancing because we have an additional financing for the extension, and then we have an expiring loan in 2016, and we want to put that together. But this would become effective for the P&L only next year, not
sure.
This year.
Sure. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And our next question comes from the line of Thomas van Darme, Kempen. Please go ahead.
Morning, Mr. Bergen. Actually, two questions. First on your retail turnover. Did I understand correctly? I mean, you did not have a discussion yet with ECE what the reason was for the number. And could you maybe give, I mean, I don't know if you have one, could you give an expectation where you think the number will move to over the year?
Well, yes, it's correct. We haven't had the chance to discuss that with ECE because these figures are on our table since Monday, and we are talking about 19 shopping centers. So it's quite a bit of investigation necessary to get a clearer picture because ECE itself doesn't have the number much earlier, only 2-3 days before. It takes some time to collect all these figures. We don't have that on a monthly basis. We have it only on a quarterly basis. So it started April 1st to collect all the numbers. Second question was the forecast. I'm not good in forecasting retail sales. Sorry.
Okay, and ECE did not give any comments on that as well.
No, not yet. They don't have a forecast either. I mean, how will you forecast a turnover in so many shopping centers without being the one who does the business? The retailers do their business. We offer the space, and we are responsible for getting the people to that location, but the retailers are responsible for selling their goods.
Okay, that's clear. Then final question on the acquisition side. Could you maybe just give some general comments on potential sellers or acquisition activities from other parties? Is there a lot of competition? Is there a changing trend there?
No, there nothing has changed, Thomas, on that side. There are few things on the market, yes, and the competition is unfortunately as it was in the recent past. There is too much money looking for investment. It's not only specific for shopping centers. It's for real estate. It's for any kind of investments globally. We all have too much money, obviously.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Peter Papadokos of Green Street Investors. Advisors, excuse me, please go ahead.
You almost got it, operator. Good morning, Mr. Berger. I have a very specific questions on the rent to sales, and especially as I look at fashion, textiles, shoe leather, also general retail, those rent to sales ratios feel to me like they're reaching their upper limit, and I just like you to comment whether I'm wrong to reach that conclusion, and of course what that means then for the likelihood that you can raise rents if indeed we are approaching that limit. And then secondly, with regards to the like for like, I understand that the 3.2% is driven by a couple of assets. So if we were to exclude those assets, could you help us understand what the organic growth is for the remainder of the portfolio?
Well, the rent-to-sales ratio, if you specifically focus on fashion textiles, it looks like that there is no much room to increase rent. What we see is, that is an average figure on several hundreds. Let me see how many those are. We are talking about 500 lease contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge range as rent to sales ratio is concerned. That starts with the low 8 and goes up to 15-16%. What we definitely see over time, those rent to sales ratio have moved up, which is not astonishing if sales don't move up, rents move up at least by inflation.
Yep.
And we see a number of retailers, fashion retailers, that obviously can live even with 20%.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean that 20% should be the average or could be the average figure. I think that we come to the limits, definitely. But I'm always surprised about retailers when it comes to renegotiation that they prolong the lease contract on the same lease level and on the same rent to sales ratio. They prolong a lease contract for 10 years, so it must fit, otherwise they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But it is something that is not only true for fashion retailers, it refers to all retailers, that the rent to sales ratios are moving up. In a stable environment, it is no surprise, but obviously, so far we can't see that there are many who ask for rent reductions. If those are the very strong ones, they try to press you to go down with the rent.
Yeah. Would you start getting nervous if the rent to sales ratio for the overall portfolio was approaching 10 or if it was approaching 12? Sort of how much room do we still have to go, assuming that sales remain stagnant for a couple more years, say?
Well, it's very difficult, Peter, to give you there a clear answer. Why is that? I mean, it very much depends on the tenant mix. If you
right,
have
of course.
A lot of large retailers, you must have a low rent to sales ratio. If you have a lot of small tenants, you have a rather high rent to sales ratio. So if we talk about average 9.1%,
your tenant mix is not going to change drastically within the next 2-3 years.
In the existing portfolio, that is correct. But if you follow that rent to sales ratio over time, the portfolio has changed because we are only talking about like for like. So, for example, last year we got in the Herod Center.
Mm-hmm.
The Herod Center has increased that average. Then you have refurbishments within the shopping centers, like we had that in Dresden, like we had it in the Rhein-Neckar Centrum last year. All the tenants that changed their store are not included in the rent to sales ratio. So that always has an influence on the rent to sales ratio. If you take the pure numbers, unfortunately, where is that now? Oh, that's here. We are slightly below 9% currently. And I would say above 10% within this portfolio. We should discuss it again. But whatever we see is the money is paid.
Yeah.
Rent is paid. And the problem we all have is we don't know the exact calculation of each retailer. There are too few listed which open their books. Most of the retailers don't open the books, so you can't see anything about their real cost structure. Obviously,
yeah.
We were wrong in the past about the amount of money they can afford to pay. So it increased over time, and they paid the money, and it increased and increased and increased, but the turnover is rather stable. So we are probably not yet at the limit, but the room is limited.
Yeah, okay. That's helpful. And then on the like-for-like growth, that if there's anything that's moving that...
There were two properties in specific that had in above average increase. That is Wuppertal and Rhein-Neckar-Zentrum. Both had some re-leasings and last year some refurbishments. So they were above average, but all the others are more or less not too far from the average figure. There's one that is at zero or minus 0.1%. The others are somewhere at 2, 2.5, 3%.
Okay, so it is a true reflection of better rental growth than last couple of years.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Berger.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Manuel Martin of Kohl's Brothers and Seidler Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. One question again to retail turnover. If we assume just hypothetically that the downwards trend will continue in retail turnover this year, how could this affect your rents? Is there a possibility for that?
Generally speaking, no. What we've seen in the first 3-4 months, that there were more than usual insolvencies of small groups. Smaller or larger, you're aware of Weltbild Plus, for example, that certainly affects us. Strauss Innovation went bankrupt. Fingshui went bankrupt. They have four stores in the Main-Taunus-Zentrum, four stores, all in the sudden insolvent. That has increased a little. But an economic effect has not been seen so far. Because we have releasing, it's 2-3 months that the store might be empty, but then there is a new one. The advantage of such a big portfolio is that it levers out more or less over time. I don't expect a dramatic threat on the revenue side in 2014.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Kai Klose of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, two quick questions. The first one on Page in Hungary. I think I remember correctly last time you mentioned that operations there tend to stabilize. May I get a give an indication how it was in Q1? And the second question on the tax rate, you mentioned it was 0.9% higher in Q1. Is this now a level we could assume to be stable for the full year?
Well, Page is one of the few shopping centers which has a positive like-for-like growth of 2.6% and the absolute turnover increased by 5%. So the trend of stabilizing that is still in place. Second question, sorry.
It was on the tax rate. On the tax rate, you mentioned it was 0.9% higher in Q1 now compared to previous year. Is this now a level which you would assume to remain the same for the full year?
Well, it always depends a little where the profit comes from. Because we have so different tax rates, not only between domestic tax rate and foreign tax rate, but also domestic tax rate, if it's with trade tax or without trade tax.
Mm.
It's something between 21 and 23, that's the tax rate. But it's hardly to predict.
Sure.
to make it clear, we certainly have a calculation on that, but the results are often different.
Mm.
And then you have got these movements.
Sure. And the last question, on page one of the report, you mentioned that you now got the confirmation of the BaFin that your shop will not be regulated according to the AFM. Just to check, is this the final confirmation or is this still a, let's say, temporary one?
Well, the big advantage for us, I think we are a little lucky on that, it was confirmed to us that due to the holding structure we have got, we are exempted. Since we are a holding, and as long as we stay to be a holding, one can't come to another conclusion. So I think we are rather safe.
Good luck. Great. Many thanks indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, are there any further questions from the phone lines? Okay, seems like there are no further questions from the phone lines.
Okay, then thank you very much for listening again and for the interesting question you raised. And hope to see you soon. Bye-bye.